Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball until 11 o'clock like we do every Saturday morning, pulling on the same string, promising White Sox and Cubs fans nothing but objectivity today. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, David. It doesn't get any sweeter than a Saturday morning where actually baseball will be played again for the first time since November. Cubs and White Sox both starting out in Arizona with Lance Lynn on the mound for the Chicago White Sox, Marcus Stroman on the mound for the Chicago Cubs. We can only assume at this point those will be your starting day pitchers come late March when the season starts for real, David. But it's all good right now with baseball starting and actual baseball for the Major League starting only a month away.
155 right here on the Score today. Ron Coomer, Alex Cohen, the voice of the AAA Iowa Cubs, is going to bring everyone the action. The White Sox later against the Padres, both getting started, as you point out, Bruce. It is exciting to have baseball back. And all spring training conversation here on the Score about the Cubs, sponsored by Sloan, the official water efficiency partner of the Chicago Cubs. So, where do you want to start? We heard from David Ross on the Mullin Haw Show on Friday morning. We've heard from Pedro Grifol all week long. There's been a share of controversy. There's been a little bit of progress. It is spring training, so everybody is in the best shape of their lives. And Eloy Jimenez is also under that category. We'll get to him later. But, Bruce, I think that when you talk about progress, and you talk about, I think, significant developments, newsworthy developments this week. Kyle Hendricks returning and throwing off the mound, throwing a bullpen session for the Cubs, to me, might be the biggest development tangibly this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the good news, bad news. The good news is that he threw off the mound for the first time since last July when he got hurt and never came back. Then they found a capsular issue in his shoulder, and this was the first time off the mound. That's the good news. The bad news is it's going to be 10 pitches or 12 pitches from that yesterday situation to the next couple, and Kyle Hendricks will not be ready to start the season until the first month of the season is over with. So I guess that's good news considering he hasn't pitched since last July, but what are we to expect from Kyle Hendricks when he comes back? A reworked pitching motion is a part of what he's going to do. So is this a new Kyle Hendricks? Is this a different Kyle Hendricks? We're going to have to watch this as it moves on. But I think it's good news because you know he's coming back. But, David, we really had a slow roll from the time he got hurt to actually knowing maybe a month ago that he was not going to start the season on time. I think there was a lot of, I won't say hiding the issue, But there was a lot of question mark about, you know, what's going on with Hendricks. We heard that he was throwing in February and January, you know, a flat ground, and that he felt really well. But from what I understand right now, a new pitching motion is going to be a part of what he's all about. Where are we at with Kyle Hendricks?
That's a good question. I think the Cubs have a luxury, if you want to call it that, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but they feel like some of the young pitchers give them an opportunity to be gradual, to be patient, and not to rush Kyle Hendricks back. You never want to do that, but now that you have maybe some depth in your starting rotation, there's even less of a temptation to do so. And Bruce, I just think there might have been some mystery surrounding it, his status, as much as anything, and so now maybe we're beginning to get some clarity. Not sure, but I think that when you see him back and talking about having something to prove in 2023, those are good signs, and they can move on and start the season without him, with the four guys that David Ross has identified as the first four starters in that rotation: Stroman, Tyone, Smiley, and Justin Steele, with the fifth spot up for grabs, and Keegan Thompson and Adbert Alzolay in the bullpen. So I think you hear that and you think that is probably, in the Cubs' minds, the strength of this team, their starting rotation. Would you agree that they believe that this could be the strength of this team?
I think they believe it. I don't necessarily believe it. I need to see more proof. 312-644-6767. Chime in on Sox, Cubs, everything spring training. We're going to be taking care of you today with Michael Fulmer from the Cubs and Lamont Pope from the Tribune, as David said. And David, my answer to that is, you know, I don't feel the great depth there. I think they have more depth than they've had in the past, but I'm not sold on the fact that, you know, Smiley coming off of an injury last year, Stroman coming off of a wonky season with some injury. I think he missed a month along the way as well. Two guys I feel best about are, you know, Tyone and Steele. I think those are the guys I feel best about in the rotation. I think there's a wait and see, and pitching depth is, you know, takes you about as far as from today through March 26th or 27th, when you actually see who has built up those 90 innings and is ready to pitch for you opening day.
I'm curious what people think. 312-644-6767. Who's starting rotation? Who's starting pitching overall? Do you have the most confidence in? The White Sox have maybe four guys that are reliable, if healthy, definitely more proven, but the Cubs have some depth that we alluded to. Maybe it's young depth, it's unproven depth, but it is quality depth, I think, if they all come together. David Ross was on the station on Friday morning with Mully and Zach, who was in for me on a day off. So this is what David Ross had to say when talking about his pitching on the Cubs.
And all these guys coming in have had some success, and whether there's an injury history or some things didn't go right for the back end of the half of a season. And I think we identified people that we don't want to give up on, and we're not always right. And I say we as a group, I'm not identifying those guys. They give me those guys, and we try to, with me and Tommy and CY and Dan Moskos and our group, we try to set guys up for success and what their strengths and weaknesses are and put them in the right spot to succeed. And we've done a nice job of that. That's also very much year to year. And at the end of the day, the players got to go out and perform, and they've done a really nice job of that. So I would love to give the credit to our organization that's done a nice job of doing that, but the real credit goes to the players.
Bruce, I think Marcus Stroman is in for a big year as well. I talked about this earlier in the week. He's somebody who last year there was a lot of maybe pressure on because of the free agent status and coming over with the bigger contract, and we didn't know a lot about him, and he had to get acclimated. Well, he's acclimated, and if he stays healthy, I think he's a guy that is comfortable in this environment, wants to thrive, and is ready to do that as a Cub, and I think he could be a guy that at the top of that rotation could be everything that they're paying him to be.
Add one more thing in there, David. Very good comments by you. One more thing to remember: he can walk after 2023. So He has an opt-out in his contract. It's a lot of money he's being paid. It's $71 million over 3 years. But we need, and the Cubs need, to watch him and make sure he gets a full year. He's got an awful lot of incentive other than, you know, just his pride that he wants to go out there every day and throw 30 starts. If he does and he's successful, you know, he's one of the, you know, what would you say, top pitching free agents out there. And as we hear this week from Manny Machado, who's going to walk away from $31 or $32 million a year average because he can after this season. I think it's common now that, you know, you should look at Stroman and say, if he has a good year, he's going to walk. You know, I mean, let's say decide to rework the contract at age 31 or 32. He's going to walk away, and this is a great incentive for him and the Cubs in 2023.
Well, I think he has the opportunity to walk away. Free agency guarantees you that, but I also think you have to factor in, number one, if he has that kind of success at Wrigley Field as a Cub, he's on the record as saying he loves pitching at Wrigley Field as much as he is pitch anywhere. And I think that you wonder if he has success here this year, would he want to walk away from all of that? And wouldn't the Cubs be in their best interest to maybe pay to keep him around? It's a great hypothetical at this stage. But as Sean Sears points out, the reality we can look at, second half of last season, Marcus Stroman was among the top seven in earned run average in the second half of the season with a 2.71 ERA. If he's that pitcher, Bruce, this will be a nice problem for the Cubs to confront at the end of the year.
Yeah, the only thing that stands in the way of all those comments and, you know, all that stuff is Money. Okay, that's the only thing that stands in the way of it. At this point, he has a great year. He wins 15 games. He's got an ERA of 3.2. He's getting a 5 to 7 year deal down the road, which is going to average, even if it averages less than the $22 million that he has coming the next couple of years, even if it's $100 million, you know, it's another $60 million in his pocket that he's not going to have right now.
Meanwhile, over at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, the White Sox feel pretty good about their starting rotation as well. Lance Lynn goes to the mound for them today to open the spring training schedule. Also, Lucas Giolito, who's trimmed down, very lean and looks pretty good and sounds even better, as is the number two or three guy, but the ace of that staff, of course, Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech, the four guys you really can count on, Bruce. I was surprised as we get ready to listen to Pedro Grifol here, how he just kind of casually talked about his fifth starter as if he was penciling him in already.
Today was a good day for pitching. Clevinger looked really good. I was really, really pleased with how he threw the ball. Giolito, I thought, was excellent. You know, really good curveball, mixed four pitches. Changeup was good. Felt strong. I thought he looked really, really good.
I am glad he's thrilled with Giolito. Bruce, I don't know if we can just assume the things that sounded so normal from Pedro Grifol about Michael Clevinger, the fifth starter still under a major league investigation for domestic and child abuse. I don't know if I'm ready to normalize Michael Clevinger's bullpen sessions as just, oh yeah, he looked really good, we're kind of penciling him in. Is that what the White Sox are trying to do here? Does he open up a door for begging for a follow-up question? What were you surprised by that?
No, not really. I mean, David, at this point, you know, the investigation is going to take its, you know, its own time to figure out. There, you know, hopefully Major League Baseball, since last July, has been investigating the guy. They come up with something that works for him and the team that, you know, at this point, if you're a manager and a new manager of a team like Grifol is with the White Sox, What else are you going to talk about? You're probably not going to say, hey, you know, we're going to hold him on a backfield and we're not going to really count on this guy because he might be suspended, right? I mean,
I might not bring it up. I might not introduce that. It might be the first, you know, I think, and I am all about Pedro Grifol bringing the energy, enthusiasm, and he has been terrific. He has been maybe the brightest spot at spring training and since he arrived because it's easy to like Pedro Grifol. I just don't know that I would volunteer that kind of information about somebody whose status remains so murky and whose mention creates such controversy. I just think I would probably avoid it. That's all.
You wouldn't talk about the pitcher at all? I mean, he's out there working.
I don't know that I would, Bruce. About him, I would probably address the question and move on. I don't know that. I think what it does is it does set us up for – you're exactly right. I mean, the White Sox clearly expect to have Michael Clevinger in the rotation on opening day. So maybe this is a glimpse into their thinking that this is all about baseball, and this is just – let's keep it to baseball, and boy, he looks good.
312-644-6767. That's the number here to get in for Cubs, Sox, anything baseball talk on Inside the Clubhouse. And David, looking at the rest of the rotation, I have more concerns about making sure that Lance Lynn arrives back from the World Baseball Classic healthy. He's going like maybe three innings today. Now, that's unheard of, the first start out in spring training, especially starting now earlier in February. There's no spring training pitchers except for the guys going to the WBC that are coming close to three innings in their first outing. Yet, they are – is their job to get him ready for the WBC or ready for opening day in the Chicago White Sox after missing 12 starts last year? Where is the reality to this situation right now?
Well, the reality to me is the same as it is as our friend Brian Cashman, who joined us a few weeks ago. The reality for me would stop at the fact or be defined by getting my multi-million-dollar investment ready to give me a big return. He is White Sox.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Property. He is the White Sox pitcher. He is the number two starter on a staff that can carry you a long way. I want everything about the decisions made about Lance Lynn and, frankly, anybody else who's under contract to be about that. I applaud his patriotism. I love his bulldog mentality. Everything about Lance Lynn is easy to like, especially from our standpoint. But I got to tell you, Bruce, I'm with you. I think this sounds great in February. How's he going to feel in September? How's a guy whose durability is a concern going to be in August? What are we doing here? If you're the White Sox, I might have had a really difficult conversation with Lance Lynn the way Brian Cashman had a real difficult conversation with Severino and other players. I don't know that it's worth it.
I think Ken Williams and Rick Hahn might be a little nervous for the WBC, David. You have Lynn, who missed the first, basically the first third of the season, and he had 21 starts last year. And the ones that he had after the All-Star break, he was back to form. He was the top pitcher. He was a top pitcher in the American League again. But here's the rundown of the WBC players for the White Sox of import. Luis Robert is going to play for Cuba. He missed 64 games last year. Yoan Moncada is going to play for Cuba. He missed 58 games last year. Tim Anderson is going to play for USA. He missed 83 games last year. Eloy Jimenez is going to play for Team Dominican Republic. He missed 78 games last year. You don't think the front office of the Chicago White Sox is nervous about it? There's really not much they can do about it, other than suggest, hey, you know, your first goal is to play for the Chicago White Sox and help us win after an 81-81 record. But it's, you know, these are the five guys of import going to the WBC. I'm nervous just talking about it with you, David. I don't know how.
I know, Bruce. You saw. He's kind of. I thought that. Yeah. You, if he mentioned another player, I'd be concerned about your health because it sounds like you're very concerned. But you're, in all seriousness, you mentioned four players and the amount of games that adds up to key guys. They averaged 70 missed games last year. And this is of primary concern should be their health, because you don't go anywhere if you're not getting full seasons out of those guys. And maybe it's an overreaction and everyone's doing it, but I just don't know if you're the Sox. It's a case-by-case basis. And in the cases of Moncada, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, and Tim Anderson, I don't think that you can assume health. And if they are injury-prone as they have been, you would keep them away from representing their countries for the WBC. I just don't know that why. I think that's a very clear-cut case for the White Sox.
You know, it's clear-cut for us because we have no skin in the game other than every Saturday talking baseball with you, and you during the week talking Molly and me writing on our website at 670thescore.com about the White Sox and Cubs. But the reality is that it's great fodder for us to talk about this, but in reality, keeping players happy in modern baseball is a huge part of what the game has turned out to be, David. It's like, it's not only are you healthy, but, you know, mentally, psychologically, how are you today? Are you healthy? Are you ready to play? We hope you're ready to play. I mean, there's a different mentality in baseball now than there was even 10 years ago.
Bruce, go back to your Stroman comment. Go back to that conversation. You know what keeps them happy? The size of their contract. And if you're giving these guys the types of contracts that the four players you mentioned, and certainly the two pitchers involved with Kendall Graveman and Lance Lynn, I would think that would be enough. I would think that should be enough. You're paying them handsomely, and the contract goes both ways. You have to keep the player happy, but the player still has to live up to the expectations and meet certain standards. And one of them should be staying healthy. You know how you stay healthy? I think that you do everything in your power to make the White Sox better, not necessarily team whoever you're representing. I'm not down on the WBC, but I don't think in this case it makes a lot of sense to see all those White Sox players representing their countries out there.
You want to squeeze in a call here?
We might be tight on time. We want to get enough time left for Michael Fulmer at the bottom of the hour. We've got Lamont Pope next hour. We've got Chin Music for some people who have said some things this week that have created a little bit of controversy. We got a great show ahead, Bruce, so we will get to the callers as well. You are listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, David Haw, until 11 o'clock here, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
I think the exciting thing is, you said it, the depth that we have this year is probably, I feel like, it's probably the most it's been since maybe I've been here, even as a player. Right? We've got real guys that have the potential to either be in the bullpen or be in AAA as depth. And I think the back end of our rotation will be pretty strong. And, you know, we'll see how all that stuff plays out. But the depth is, we realize, and we've seen it, like, we see when you don't have it, really stands out. I think this year we've got a lot of weapons and guys that will be really talented. They'll be pitched in AAA that will help us at some point during the season. But I think that's a great thing.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. That was David Ross talking about the pitching depth, both in the rotation and in the bullpen. And one of the reasons why he joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. That is where we find new Cubs relief pitcher Michael Fulmer. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us this morning out in Arizona. You heard from David Ross. You have been around the camp now. The depth of the Cubs pitching is one of the strengths in theory. How have things gone so far, and how are you doing in so far with your new team?
Yeah, things are going great. I think these first week or two I've been down here, I've been more trying to learn everybody's names first, but I think the practice is going well. I'm excited to see some of my bullpen mates and pitchers in general start throwing in games that start today, and ready to kind of learn everybody and personalities and get the team together and start winning.
Michael, first of all, welcome to the airwaves of the Chicago Cubs as we do all 162 games here on the radio on the Score with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer. So welcome, first of all. And secondly, take us through the transition from being one of the top young pitchers in baseball as a starter back at when you were a rookie of the year with the Detroit Tigers to where you are now as far as being able to transition from starting pitching to a bullpen.
Yeah, that's a good question. I love my time as a starter back with the Tigers, and unfortunately injuries kind of took over my career, but we did some work in the off season, all this rehab work, came back, and not knowing if my body could handle the workload as a starter anymore, after a couple knee surgeries and a couple elbow surgeries. So we thought we'd try it out in the bullpen, and I love it there so far the last couple of years. I think it's an adrenaline rush when I'm out there, and I think that's what makes me a better pitcher. You know, could I think I could go back to starting? Absolutely, now that we've kind of learned some things about my body, but it's hard to say that I'm not having more fun pitching out of the bullpen in some of the game's biggest spots.
Michael, what was it about the Cubs that appealed to you most? Was it just the opportunity maybe to be a closer? Was it something else about the organization? What was it?
You know, I think a lot of things factored in, but in all honesty, it's the main thing for me is that how genuine Craig Breslow, Tommy Hotovy, Jed, and all these guys were, how honest they were. It goes a long way when you know, they were telling me how I could make myself a better pitcher this offseason. They said whether they sign me or not, this is what we see and what's in you, and this is what we think you could do. And that just goes a long way in my book. So I had a Zoom meeting with them in either December or January. They were very upfront, very honest about everything, about roles and all this stuff. But I think the biggest thing is that they saw what I could do better and how they can make me better. And just the interest level goes a long way in my book. It just meant a lot.
Michael, you said something really fascinating just a few seconds ago, and that is, do you think I can go back to being a starting pitcher? The answer is yes, but I'm very happy with the role I'm in right now. It just leads me to thinking about you, the power pitcher that you've been in your career, and John Smoltz's career, where he went from a starting pitcher to surgery to a bullpen and saving 150 games back to starting pitcher again. So in your mind, down the road here, at a very young age for a pitcher, 29, you think starting pitching might be a part of your future at some point?
It could be. I think it's more that I could probably do it if a team wanted me to do that. And I had some interest in it this offseason from other teams. But like I said, this organization and the role and the team that was built this offseason and the way they played last year in the front office and, you know, all these guys, it's, the expectations are high, and my main thing was to come in and win, go to a winning team. And I felt like we can definitely do that here with the lineup we have, the starting rotation, and ultimately the bullpen.
Joined by Michael Fulmer, the Cubs relief pitcher here on the Score. It's inside the clubhouse until 11 o'clock. So, Michael, Jameson Taillon joins the Cubs and talked about his slider a couple weeks ago, and I thought it went in such great detail that Marquee Sports Network was going to have an hour-long special on it because it had so many different elements to it. Yours seems to be maybe a hard cutter, it's been described, a high 90s possibility. How would you describe your slider, which is one of your best pitches?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely developed more into a cutter over the last couple of years. I think that's just me wanting to throw it harder, make it look like a fastball more, and I'm good with a little bit shorter movement on it, maybe get a little bit more depth on it. But it's just kind of one of those things is from the transition to starter to reliever that you don't have to worry about facing a lineup, you know, two, three times anymore. It's you get these three outs no matter what the situation is. You get these three outs, you go sit down in the dugout. So just get it to the next guy in the bullpen or ultimately finish the game. And that's kind of the biggest thing. So I go from throwing, you know, mainly fastball 60, 70% of the time as a starter now to throwing this cutter slider almost 60, 70% of the time last year. So the good thing about the Cubs is that, you know, they were teaching me that I think everybody in the camp throws it now, but that little sweeper slider, they said they think it helped me a lot. So, of course, naturally, when they first told me that, I started working on it immediately and feel pretty good about it now and looking to add it to my pitches.
Michael, the Cubs didn't name a closer until we saw somebody walk out of the bullpen the second or third game of the season last year. They had other veterans just like yourself in there that were capable of getting the job done. What is your thoughts about the high leverage role that they have in mind for you, either as a setup man or as a closer, and differentiate how you might look at those as far as how you'd prepare for either or both?
Yeah, you know, I pride myself on versatility. Like you mentioned, as a starter, as a long man in the bullpen, as a bridge guy, sixth, seventh inning, I've done setup man. I've been the closer before. You know, I pride myself on being able to do kind of all those. But with the bullpen we have with this team, it's we got a lot of versatility and a lot of guys, a lot of former starters, a lot of guys that go multiple innings, a lot of guys that have the high octane stuff to be closer. A veteran guy in Boxberger, you know, this bullpen is rounding out very well. And from what I saw last year and what everybody's talking about, it's going to be a lot of flexibility. And I think Rossi's mentioned about going on matchups, which is perfect because we got a lot of guys down there. You know, Husey, Albert, Hayden, you know, all these guys that can lock down late innings, Boxberger, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. And root for one another, no matter what situation we're put in. I think Rossi's going to have an easy job with having multiple options for each inning.
So you were the Rookie of the Year in 2016 in the American League. You're an All-Star a year later. You encounter some injuries with the Tigers. But here you are with the Cubs, and you're in a clubhouse full of guys who – there's some guys with some similar past who have had some early success and for whatever reason ran into some adversity, and now here they are in a Cub team with a lot of guys who have – you know, one-year deals, prove-it contracts, but that pedigree, that professionalism, I would think gives the Cubs one of their strengths. When you look around the clubhouse, have you seen that? Have you sensed that? And what is the value of that?
Yeah, there's a lot of value in it. And Rossi kind of brought it up in one of these early meetings. It's, you know, a lot of hardware in this clubhouse right now. Gold gloves, All-Stars, World Series champions. You know, the list goes on. I mean, we've got two guys that beat cancer. You know, if that's not the most high praise that can bring somebody, then I don't know what is. You know, it's an awesome group of guys. Everybody's seen it all. Some guys, most guys have been around for a while, and I think just this culture in this clubhouse is going to be worth noting.
Michael, you've seen the very best of one of the great superstars in the game and then watching him struggle with injuries the past few years, and that is Miguel Cabrera, your teammate with the Tigers for a very long time. What is the dilemma, and how difficult is it to watch one of the great players in the history of the game have to just satisfy these long-term contracts that players sign for, you know, $25 million, and have to keep going out there knowing that a guy like Cabrera is playing, you know, with a half a body. His lower half hasn't been the same for 4 or 5 years yet. He guts it through every single year. How difficult and how interesting is it to watch a guy have to go through something like that?
I mean, Miggy, personally, great teammate, great leader. It was an honor to be able to call him a teammate. It was an honor to be able to watch him. You know, his 500th home run, his 3,000th hit. All these milestones that he's hit, and it's cool to be a part of it. You talk about the long-term contracts, and he's worth every penny of what he got, and so are a lot of the other guys too. But just the way he goes out there, he shows up to spring training in shape every year, ready to go, you know, strong as an ox, and still finds a way to be able to drive the ball to right center. I've learned that from facing him in spring training, and then I got to face him last year. I'm just happy I got to contribute to his hit total last year as a member of the Minnesota Twins. But, you know, guys like that, they're great for the game of baseball. You talk about your Pujols, your Cabreras, you know, these guys that sign those big contracts. But, you know, people don't talk about the leadership it brings to the clubhouse for years to come and a staple of an organization like Miggy is.
Michael, before we let you go, obviously you're familiar with Chicago from playing with the Tigers and the Twins and coming to town. Just wonder what you look forward to most, spending an entire season in the city, and what you've heard and look forward to playing at Wrigley Field.
You know, I am looking forward most to absolutely being on the north side for once instead of going to the south side 3 times a year for 7 years. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're happy. My family and I are happy to be in Chicago. You know, it's our first kind of big major city, going to live right in, take it all in, see all the sights, and ultimately bring a hopefully winning culture back to Wrigley.
Michael, great stuff. Best of luck. Welcome to town, and I hope you have a great season with the Cubs.
Bruce, David, thank you all so much for having me.
Michael Fulmer, the new Cubs relief pitcher, possible closer, likely closer, Bruce. I think that is what the expectation might be. He's got a lot of experience, and as you can hear there, he's a very very mature professional addition to that bullpen.
Stretch him out, make him the third starter in the rotation.
Oh, your ears perked up. You're like, oh my gosh, the Cubs just assigned another starting pitcher. You love that idea, even though it makes no sense this year, Bruce. But I think that it is. You perked up right away. You're like, oh wow, starting pitcher.
Well, I mean, look, the game is always going to be about your starting pitchers, no matter how many innings bullpen guys throw. And this guy was one of the top pitchers in the game before he got hurt. I mean, he was really an outstanding young pitcher. And at 29, you know, the sky's still the limit for him down the road. But you're right, David. My thoughts are he's the David Robertson of 2023 for the Cubs. He's the guy that's going to be the closer to start the season for the Cubs.
That's a great comparison, and I think we'll continue to see him evolve into that role, I think, as spring training continues. When we come back, a little chin music. There were some comments made this week that created a little bit of a stir. We'll address those next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
High and inside, chin music, a little chin music. Take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Yeah, we're back on Inside the Clubhouse. Tim Anderson talking to Chuck Garfine for the White Sox Talk podcast. Created a little bit of controversy. This is what he said.
If you're a part of this and you're like one of our supporters and you see somebody struggling, that's like, you know, that's kind of like, you know, if you see your wife struggling, you're going to pat her on the back, right? So that's kind of one of those things. If we're under the same umbrella, I think we should all be pulling from the same screen and not tearing each other down and not tearing players down. Or, you know, we don't tear you down. So yeah. I think it's just one of those things. We got to support each other. We support you. We make ourselves access to you, yeah. You know, when you want to talk to us. So it's just kind of one of those things that we all got to be, you know, be on a positive screen and pull from the same screen. That we can be better as a whole.
Was I tearing you down?
No, you weren't tearing me down. You was causing a lot of confusion. You know what I mean?
I mean, but
you got to think about it. The fans listen to you.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. Talking. We don't talk. We just play.
You talk. You can talk.
We don't talk, though. We're in the game zone. We don't talk. They're listening to you.
Right.
So if we're putting out positive energy, then positive energy is going to always follow us. You know what I'm saying?
I tried. Yeah. I tried to be as positive as I could.
It's a rough season. It's okay. We understand. You know, but the ultimate goal, man, is to, you know, just continue to go out and play hard and, you know, really see what happens. We got a lot of room to grow. We got a great ball club, a lot of energy. So, I mean, we can sit here and talk about the same thing. I continue to keep telling you the same thing that I said last year and the year before and the year before. But, yeah, man, go out and just play hard.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Bruce, I didn't think too much of the comments. We're going to hear from Don Cooper, who was on the station, the Parkinson Spiegel Show on Friday, in a moment. But what was your reaction?
It's just, I think Tim Anderson, to me, let's look at the bigger picture. He's grabbing back the leadership role that he put to aside last year for the Chicago White Sox because of physical problems, because of off-the-field issues. He's basically redirecting people. This is the second time in 3 days that he redirected where people should be thinking. The first time he talked about Jose Abreu being gone and chimed into the reporters at spring training saying, hey, look, Pito is great. He was wonderful. He was our leader. He's not here anymore. Let's move on. You know, stop with these questions about Pito after today because this is a 2023 team. So not judging Tim Anderson, that's my role as an objective reporter. But looking at and observing it, it means I think he's grabbing back the leadership role for the Chicago White Sox that was so important for the team and him before last season.
Yeah, I think he's naive in expecting White Sox fans not to be critical after a season like that and to be supportive. And I don't know that
he's talking about you, David, in your comments. He's not talking about me.
I'm not taking it personal. I think I've been around long enough to know how players from in the Chicago market view the Chicago market, and I think it's incredibly naive of him to expect the kind of coverage to be anything than what it was. That was the most disappointing team in baseball. So to me, Tim Anderson went from being one of the more popular and likable guys for his authenticity to becoming a pro sports cliche and wanting everybody to pull on the same string. That's not going to happen. That's not even the expectation of most professional athletes.
Yeah.
They get it. They get the contract. That's the way it works.
I agree with you, David, but the bigger picture is I'm back. I'm the leader of this team. I'm telling you what the perspective is in the clubhouse. I'm not going to back away from that role any longer like I had to last year. And I think that'll be very good for the White Sox if you see the Tim Anderson of 2021 and before that back in that role, playing shortstop, playing with that same vibe that put him on the cover of so many video games over the past 3 or 4 years.
Not surprisingly, Don Cooper, somebody who always was candid and told us what he thought, was on the score Friday afternoon defending and supporting Tim Anderson.
Okay. Not at all did I think it was. I didn't. Much ado about nothing.
Good.
You know, Timmy was saying truth, you know, because the media can turn things real negative. And people read that stuff. I get that. You know, a middle-of-the-road person reading negative about anything is after a while going to get negative. They get led that way, you know. I always thought sometimes the media would take a middle-of-the-road fan and take him to the dark side, you know, bring him to the dark side. Listen, and I am so different than that. I woke up every morning happy, positive, looking forward to the day. Let's try to win a ball game, you know. But the media, I thought, and this was from the beginning. This wasn't like middle of the game. It's like, bring me the head of the man that blew that game. You know, bring me the head of the people that are doing something that's not good. You know, and I don't like negative approaches in any way, shape, or form.
That was Don Cooper.
You understand that, David? You got that?
I do understand that. I understand how naive that is and how ridiculous it sounds to me, because if you think Chicago is tough, and Coop spent a lot of time in the Chicago market, but he came from a New York market as well. You think Chicago's tough? Goodness sakes, Bruce, come on. That just to me, I understand why he would defend Tim Anderson, but Tim Anderson overall in this market shouldn't be criticizing the way that he has been covered. He should probably be grateful for the fact that it hasn't been even more critical from him specifically. Last year, the White Sox stunk, Bruce. What were you going to say? Oh, boy, the growing pains? Come on.
Look, as much as they think we can control the message for the players and what goes on there, they don't understand how intelligent Chicago baseball fans are. He's talking about the middle-of-the-road fan. Well, the middle-of-the-road fan doesn't listen to our shows. They don't pay attention to what's going on here. The fan who's involved in the game, who's listening to information about baseball on the score, that's not a middle-of-the-road fan. Those are people that know sports. They understand the essence of it. My opinion, your opinion, is not going to change their opinion. They formulate their opinion on what they see out there on the field. That's the only way those opinions are formed.
Another guy who forms strong opinions, he can be polarizing at times, is Tom Ricketts. He spoke to his team this week in Mesa. We'll talk about what he had to say and some other Cubs thoughts. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh,
nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
And then to the reporters at spring training saying, hey, look, Pito is great. He was wonderful. He was our leader. He's not here anymore. Let's move on. You know, stop with these questions about Pito after today, because this is the 2023 team. So not judging Tim Anderson, that's my role as an objective reporter, but looking at and observing it, it means I think he's grabbing back the leadership role for the Chicago White Sox that was so important for the team and him before last season.
Yeah, I think he's naive in expecting White Sox fans not to be critical after a season like that and to be supportive. And I don't know that
David, in your comments. He's
no, he's not talking about me. I'm not taking it personal. I think I've been around long enough to know how players from in the Chicago market view the Chicago market. And I think it's incredibly naive of him to expect the kind of coverage to be anything than what it was. That was the most disappointing team in baseball. So to me, Tim Anderson went from being one of the more popular and likable guys for his authenticity to becoming a pro sports cliche and wanting everybody to pull on the same string. That's not going to happen. That's not even the expectation of most professional athletes.
Yeah.
They get it. They get the contract. That's the way it works.
I agree with you, David. But, you know, the bigger picture is I'm back. I'm the leader of this team. I'm telling you what the perspective is in the clubhouse. I'm not going to back away from that role any longer like I had to last year. And I think that'll be very good for the White Sox if you see the Tim Anderson of 2021 and before that back in that role, playing shortstop, playing with that same vibe that put him on the cover of so many video games over the past 3 or 4 years.
Not surprisingly, Don Cooper, somebody who always was candid and told us what he thought, was on the score Friday afternoon defending and supporting Tim Anderson.
Okay. Not at all did I think it was. I didn't. It much ado about nothing.
Good.
You know, Timmy was saying, well, it's truth, you know, because the media can turn things real negative. And people read that stuff. I get that. You know, a middle-of-the-road person reading negative about anything is after a while going to get negative. They get led that way, you know. I always thought sometimes the media would take a middle-of-the-road fan and take him to the dark side, you know, to bring him to the dark side. Listen, and I am so different than that. I woke up every morning happy, you know, positive, looking forward to the day. Let's try to win a ball game, you know. But the media, I thought, and this was from the beginning. This wasn't like middle of the game. It's like, bring me the head of the man that blew that game. You know, bring me the head of the people that are doing something that – not good, you know, and I don't like negative approaches in any way, shape, or form.
That was Don Cooper.
That, David, you got that?
I do understand that. I understand how naive that is and how ridiculous it sounds to me, because if you think Chicago is tough, and Coop spent a lot of time in the Chicago market, but he came from a New York market as well. You think Chicago's tough? Goodness sakes, Bruce, come on. That just, to me, I understand why he would defend Tim Anderson, but Tim Anderson overall in this market shouldn't be criticizing the way that he has been covered. He should probably be grateful for the fact that it hasn't been even more critical from him specifically. Last year, the White Sox stunk, Bruce. What were you going to say? Oh, boy, the growing pains? Come on.
Look, as much as they think we can control the message for the players and what goes on there, they don't understand how intelligent Chicago baseball fans are. He's talking about the middle-of-the-road fan. Well, the middle-of-the-road fan doesn't listen to our shows. They don't pay attention to what's going on here. The fan who's involved in the game, who's listening to information about baseball on the score, that's not a middle-of-the-road fan. Those are people that know sports. They understand the essence of it. My opinion, your opinion, is not going to change their opinion. They formulate their opinion on what they see out there on the field. That's the only way those opinions are formed.
Another guy who forms strong opinions, he can be polarizing at times, is Tom Ricketts. He spoke to his team this week in Mesa. We'll talk about what he had to say and some other Cubs thoughts. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Just be cool. Everyone be cool.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.